Don't try this at home, folks. We are broadcast specialists.
With that little blue pill called Viagra.
We just make it look easy, but it ain't easy, believe me. It's not easy, but it's fun. It's fun.
I'm having a great time. There's nothing more fun than disseminating truth, dissolving
error,
dissolving doubts.
We dissolve doubts, disseminate truth, and distribute Viagra.
Distribute Viagra. For those who wait, just in case you've never heard us before,
we better clarify ourselves.
This week we're discussing justification and Viagra. There
and
is a connection.
According to Dan Sheridan, we're also going to define sanctification one of these days.
We're going to do that. We're talking about justification, sanctification. And isn't it great to know that a believer in Christ has justification and sanctification before he's done anything?
But what do those mean?
We're going to get to that.
If you hear something on this show ever, I just want to point this, if you hear something ever and you think, well, darn it, they said they were going to do something and they didn't tie that bow, that last bit, keep listening because we're eventually going to get to it. It might be next year, but we will get to it.
We'll get to it on Friday, but we're not going to tell you what Friday, what week, what month,
We'll just say we're going to get to it Friday. We'll eventually get to it. Or there is another option.
What's the option?
You can email us with your questions, which will be promptly ignored, or you can call Dan Sheridan if you dare.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't get it. You give your number out, and I would never do that.
847-312-4676.
I can't believe you're doing that. A celebrity like you.
Celebrity.
Obviously, we have people from South Africa and from Australia and from Holland. We have a fan club in Holland, I found out.
Holland.
And they're listening, and you're giving your phone number out. You're going to get calls from all over the place. Your phone bill's going to reverse charges because...
we'll see.
Because you're on the radio, everybody thinks you're rich and famous.
Yeah,
and here we are.
I am rich and famous. Yeah. I have a McDonald's coffee cup styrofoam that I've reused 3 times.
I actually
and a water bottle that I've reused a few times.
This is embarrassing to say, but I rinse my paper plates.
Nice.
At home. I rinse them out and reuse them six times. They do?
Well, what kind of paper? Are they styrofoam ones?
No.
Oh, you spray the paper.
Paper. I'm talking
that
paper.
That is pretty gross, man.
Yes, I'm talking paper.
Okay, well, listen. To each his own, I guess.
All right.
You know, I can judge it. Israel, test case. Isn't that what we talked about?
That truth needs... We need to talk more about that. That is such an amazing thing. Who knows this in Christianity? They set forth Israel as, wow, we need to still do this law. Look at Israel. Not realizing that the whole thing was a demonstration of human inability to please God. Romans 5:20 even says that the law came so that the transgressions might increase.
Wow.
That's an amazing verse.
I thought it
was a misprint. They must mean the law came so that the transgressions would decrease, because wasn't that the purpose of the law? For transgressions to decrease and man to become good? Ooh, this secret was hidden from Israel. It took thousands of years for Paul to... I just thought I'd drop this little tidbit of information to you folks, that the law came so that the transgressions would increase. Read it in any version. That's Romans 5:20. Why the heck didn't God tell that to Israel back at Mount Sinai? Why? Dan, can you answer this for me? Why did God come across like, why can't you people do this? He thunders from Mount Sinai, I give you the law, and yet you disobey me. God comes across as one who is surprised, as one who is angry, as one who is indignant. It's like he's beside himself. That I give you these instructions, I tell you everything you have to do, I talk to you through my servant Moses, and you still can't do it right. Why does God come across as shocked and surprised? That's people have a problem with that.
Yeah. Because it's relative. It's it's the fact that God is dealing with us in our human situations as we are. It's how men try to imagine God as if he were just like them. And granted, the scriptures use language that have God remembered Noah. Did God ever forget Noah?
No.
No, it's a figure of speech. It's a language of accommodation. He's accommodating himself to us. God is spirit. We can't know God apart from, unless it's relatively. You know what I mean by that?
He takes on human characteristics.
We cannot know God unless he reveals himself in circumstances that we're in. That's it.
And the purpose of that is we have to feel those circumstances. It had to be more than theory to Israel.
Yeah.
And since we're learning in Romans 3 that this is a demonstration that every mouth in the world might be shut, Israel has to go through this. God just can't tell you, well, I'm just going to tell you right now that flesh and blood is not able to please me. Instead of telling it, he establishes this entire hundreds of years of law keeping to purposely trip them up so that they'll fall flat on their face.
Yeah, and he did that again.
And it's practical.
God has to show his anger.
Show, yes.
He has to do it.
Yes.
It's all part of the process.
People have to see it and people have to feel it.
Yes.
It's got to be real. It can't be a theory. And it's so real when you see Israel falling on its face. And then Paul presents this as just, okay, it's like Paul is saying, now, aren't you glad that you don't have to do this?
Exactly.
You know, God did this with Israel, so you don't have to go through it. Just learn from Israel's example. But instead, we set up Israel on a pedestal and say, now we're going to go through the law. Idiots!
Yeah.
We're going to repeat the experiment.
You thought Romans 5:20 was strange. Here's one that even, to me, was even far crazier than Romans 5:20 is where Paul says in Romans that where no law is, neither is there transgression.
Oh, God, and then why did you bring the law if you didn't want transgression?
Yeah. In other words, that means where there is law, there is transgression.
Yeah, and who brought the law?
God did. Well, back to this whole Israel the test case. There's a chapter in Isaiah where God actually tells us Israel the test case. You know, are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Isaiah chapter 5.
And, you know, when we say test case, we don't mean that God is trying to find
something out.
God knows this. It's a demonstration to the rest of us.
Let me sing. I'll just read it.
Did you say sing?
Yeah, let me sing now for my friend. I'm reading from the Concordant Old Testament, Isaiah. Let me sing now for my friend a song about my friend for his vineyard. A vineyard. It belonged to my friend on a horn-like, very fertile hill.
Are you reading from Scripture?
I'm reading from
Scripture. I've never read this passage.
You have. A vineyard, it belonged to my friend on a horn-like, very fertile hill.
So, a horn-like hill.
A fertile hill. And
okay.
I think, I don't want to go into the details and interpret this, okay? He dug it up and threw out its stones, and he planted it with a yellow muscat vine. He built a tower in its midst, and also hewed a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to yield grapes, yet it's yielding stinking fruit. So what does he do? He has this vineyard, and he prepares it, and he gives it all the outward privileges and the abilities to produce fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Digs it out, gets it all prepared, and gives it the perfect environment to bear fruit. But what did it bring forth? So it didn't. He expected it to yield grapes, yet it yielded stinking fruit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now here's what he says. And now, dwellers of Jerusalem and men of Judea, men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Now, this is God speaking.
Okay.
All right, look what I did. I gave them all these privileges. The tabernacle, I gave them my law, the pillar was there, the high priesthood, you had all this stuff. You can come and inquire of me. He said, now judge between me and my vineyard. What more is there to do for my vineyard that I have not done for it? It's almost like God here is giving a challenge. What more could I have done for my vineyard?
Yeah.
Is there any other privilege I could have given it? And for what reason, when I expected it to yield grapes, does it yield stinking fruit?
God had to exhaust. I know, it's so funny. God had to exhaust every complaint on the side of man that would say, oh, You know, we could have done it if this. We could have done it if that. Oh, if that garden, if your vineyard had just had a better fence.
Exactly.
If it just watered it one more time.
All this essentially takes us back to the Garden of Eden.
If only there was 11 commandments, God, we could have done it.
Yeah, if there were a couple more.
Then we could have.
There were 654 rather than 653, we would have done it. You know, the Jews even had a belief in their own day that if somebody kept all the 653 commands, the Masoretes are one of the groups of the Hebrews actually listed them out. When you take Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, all the commandments, they had a belief that if one person, and Paul believed this when he was a Pharisee,
as Saul,
they said if one person can keep all these commandments just for one day, Messiah would come.
You know, that
so it all depended
wacko.
Upon what they do.
Yes, that sounds wacko, except you hear the same messages in church.
Exactly.
Today.
If we will only keep the law, we can reform society and bring in the kingdom without Jesus Christ. That's the teaching.
Yep, and here we go with the same example of they're struggling and struggling and struggling to get to a place where we're long past.
Well, we need to get back. I think we need to go back.
That was a good example. I didn't realize that was in there.
And here is what we're getting at, and I want to leave people a little better know as we're running out of time. Boy, it goes quick here, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's so much
Romans 3:21, yet now, apart from law.
Those are
three magnificent words.
That was a bomb for Paul, though. He got the heck beaten out of him for that.
That is a revelation. Imagine Paul. A Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, saying, apart from law.
We today, in the 21st century, cannot imagine the bomb that those three words were. Apart from, nobody had ever heard of that before. The only way you got to God in those days was via the law. It was the only way God himself presented. Nobody could be blamed for thinking that law was the way to God, because that's how God presented it. But apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. This is the first time, I think, Dan, that the righteousness is taken away from the human effort and given the righteousness of God.
Apart from law. Peter never said this. John never said this.
Never.
Jude never said this.
Nope, James never said it.
James never said this. This is a revelation that God has given to Paul, and this is the message that starts. This is where we begin. The message that goes out today to the world begins with this. Apart from law. Apart from law. Let's repeat it again.
And we pray.
Apart from law. And this doesn't just say Moses' law. There's no article here. It's apart from law. Law of any kind. Because the Gentiles weren't given the law of Moses, or else it would have said apart from the law.
That's right. Gentiles never
Gentiles
got it.
Gentiles were never given the law of Moses. So apart from any system of works, God's righteousness is revealed.
We pray that those listening today, that you hear this message, and maybe this is the first time you've heard this, that you cannot please God by any self-regulation or any religious regulation, and this is going to free you for the first time in your life. I hope you hear this message.
We will be getting to the Viagra.
Forward this to your friends. You can listen. If you missed the show on the air, you can go to martinzender.com. These shows are archived. We invite you to go there. Save the MP3 file. Send it to everybody you know, folks. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.